verse 7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write these things, saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. I'm telling you, and I'm sorry to speak about myself, but I can't speak about you, so I got to speak about myself. See, the job I was on, the project I was on was coming to somewhat of an end, and I thought I was going to get, you know, something else that was going to be more interesting, exciting. So, but my manager said, well, what we want you to do is to do maintenance. So I thought to myself, oh, man, that's kind of a dead-end thing, maintenance for the ongoing products that they put out. So I said, okay, you know, I'll accept it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But it turned out to be anything but dead end. I mean, he didn't probably think that way. And originally, he was going to give me something else. But I know that someone got in his ear and was saying, well, no, we don't want Mike to be doing that. But I'm just telling you how God works. So it turns out that they put me in charge of an older product, and something they'd already been shipping. But what happened was that this company wants to use it. And they offered my company a lot of money to change it. But so instead of being maintenance, it turned out to be a big deal. And because now I wasn't in a team, it wasn't like six of us, it's just me. They asked me to change this product and in a real short time, like in 2 or 3 weeks, and I was able, with the Lord's help, not knowing what I'm doing, to make it work. And I sent it out to them, and they were so happy that they were at a big trade show that the company does every year out in Las Vegas, in which the president of the company was there, and this other company's president said, you know what, we're so happy with what happened, we want to sign a letter of intent, we want 12,000 of these things every year. And so that all went up the chain of command, and so I get the glory. Well, actually, God gets the glory. Because it was nothing to do with me. I didn't really know what I was doing. I was, let's try this, let's try that, see what works. But when God is on your side, you don't have to be good. Next time someone asks me, I used to say, you know, there's a saying in the world that lucky beats good. I tell you what beats lucky, blessed. God's favor. God's favor. Blessed beats everything. And when you are doing the best for God, he will do the best for you. And it's just astounding to me this week, because they came back and they said, well, we want more of what you did. So now we want you to do more. We have some changes and we want it in a week. Not 3 weeks. They wanted it in a week. And I just didn't say a word. I just looked up and said, Lord, you have to do this again. And God did it again. So Friday I was able to finish what I was doing and email it to them and on the phone with them. And they started to use it. And again, all glory be to God. Because he is so awesome. And you don't have to be good. You just have to be blessed. Amen. Behold, I set before you an open door. When the devil thinks he's shut the door on you and you can't get out, God can open it. God can make a way even when it seems impossible. Amen. Well, our first week we spoke about the door of salvation, the door of protection last week. And this week we're going to talk about the door of ministry. Now, normally I spend hours writing my Sunday school lessons. But of course, I had to teach yesterday at Purpose Institute, and I was up from 3 on Friday. And so when I came home last night about 1 o'clock, my wife said, so you're going to teach an old lesson? I said, yeah, I'm going to teach an old lesson, because I hadn't written anything yet. And so I just went to bed, and I woke up this morning, and I still hadn't written anything yet. But you know what the Lord says? Open your mouth, and I will fill it. So I came here about 9 o'clock, and I went in the office, and I said, Lord, I don't want to teach an old lesson. So open my mouth and fill it. So the Lord gave me something in half an hour that sometimes I spend 10 hours doing. See what God can do? Amen. He has placed before you an open door. An open door. So we're talking today about a door of ministry. And then next week we'll be talking about the door of rapture. He that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no. You'd better not mess with the child of God. It won't go good for you. I've seen that so many times with my father, where he just, you know, he was not the kind of person to fight back. And that's the kind of person that God says, okay, I got this. I can handle this. Just like Hezekiah, he knew what to do. He took the letter to God. God fights my battles. God will fight your battle. And I'm going to show you today how. Because we're talking about ministry, a door of ministry. And it's not something that we can just do ourselves. We try and do stuff in ourselves. It says, except the Lord build the house, they that labor, labor in vain. So unless God is building what you're into, it's going to be a mess. It's not going to be successful. Amen. Now, when we talk about a door, what do you need to open a door? A handle? What else? Strength? Something obvious you need to open it. A key. A key. Now, I don't know if you noticed in that scripture that we've read, it said, he who has the key. Right? To open a door that's locked, unless you're going to try and break it, and you can't break any of the doors God's got, you need a key. Let's read that scripture again. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David. Ooh, what's that? What is the key of David? Because it seems that it's something important if you're going to open a door. He that openeth and no man shutteth. We see we go right by the fact that he said that he that hath the key of David. Well, that key of David is mentioned in the Old Testament, and it's mentioned in the same way that he just spoke about, a door that is shut and a door that is open. Isaiah 22:20, and it shall come to pass in that day that I will call my servant Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah. And we really need this today. I will clothe him with thy robe and strengthen him with thy girdle. And I will commit thy government into his hand. And he shall be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. And the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder. So he shall open and none shall shut. And he shall shut and none shall open. So what we realize when we start to really study this verse in Revelation, that it refers back all the way in the Old Testament to something called the key of the house of David. All the way back in the Old Testament, and it says the same things, that if you have the key of the house of David, so he shall open and none shall shut, and he shall shut and none shall open. What was something that was very critical in David's household? What was David famous for? What do you think was one of the keys to David's success? Prayer? Worship, praise. He was of the tribe of Judah, which means what? Praise. The key of the house of David, the first key, of course, is praise. It's praise and worship. Amen? You want to get out of your situation. What do you got to do? Paul and Silas are locked up in the prison, down in the dungeon. What do they do? What was their key to getting out of the prison? At midnight, they started to sing songs. They started to lift up the name of Jesus. You see, when you do that, there's a door that's shut that's going to be open. If you want the key of the house of David, number one, that key, one of the elements is praise. But it's not that easy to praise God when you just had a fender bender, when you just had an accident, right? On my way to church with the church van this morning, the devil said something to me, and I reacted on it in haste, had an accident. Thanks be to God, God didn't make it too bad an accident, but of course, no accident is small nowadays. But you know what? I refuse to let the devil take away my praise. I'm here today to give the devil notice that I want the key of the house of David. And that key is based upon praise and worship and thanksgiving. Amen. We're going to look a little bit more into that. To open a door, you need a key. And I want to look at this character who was given this key. His name is Eliakim. And you want to look up that name. It means God raises or God exalts. Now, for God to raise someone up, where must they be to start with? The key, one of the keys to ministry, to an open door, is being a servant. The Bible says he resisteth the proud, but he giveth what? Grace to the humble. Eliakim was the chief servant in the household of the king, but he was humble, and that's why he was given the key to the house of David, because he was humble. His very name means that God will raise up. If you all already think you're all that, God is not going to be trying to raise you up. You need to be humbled. But this man was given the key to ministry because his very name, it represents someone who is in a low estate. That's why it's good that if you don't look at yourself as if you're something, because God can't do nothing with you. But if you come to God with humility, you're opening the door to servanthood. Look, it says, and it shall come to pass in that day that I will call my servant. Didn't say call a bishop, call doctor, apostle, call my servant. The greatest name that God can call you is servant. That's the greatest name. Maybe the only thing that's better is if he calls you my friend. But in the Old Testament, the greatest thing he could call you was servant. He says, I will call my servant Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, and the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder. The first key to ministry is you got to be humble. You got to be humble. I did not jump at being a pastor. I could have been a pastor a long, long time ago if that's what you know, from my flesh I wanted. It was not something that I wanted. It's not something that I said, yeah, let me do it. Let me be there to hear everybody else's troubles. Let me take 2 a.m. calls. Let me have to work at the church still, whatever. No, that's not what my flesh wanted. But if that's what God wants, Lord, let me be a servant. I'd rather be a doorkeeper. Isn't that what David said? Now you're seeing the key to the house. Because who has the key? The doorkeeper. Think about it. It's the doorkeeper that has the key. What did David say? I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. Isn't that right? Isn't it the doorkeeper that has the key? Amen. We want to be ministers. We want to minister the gospel. Our first key is being a servant. That's what Eliakim's name means, that God can exalt you. If you humble yourself, then you can be exalted. If you will abase yourself before God. I don't mean you have to abase yourself before man, though. That is good sometimes, to not be proud and haughty, because God resists that. I preached a message a long, long time ago. It said, bow down now. Anyone remember the? Or fall down later. And I've seen that so many times. That's why one of the things I speak to myself all the time, you're nothing. Now, I understand that we shouldn't, but you understand, because we can get big-headed so fast. That's why I don't really like too many compliments. It might actually get in my spirit. I don't want that. I want to remain a servant, because I am nothing without God. Truly, I am nothing. You are nothing without the Spirit of God. And so the key to ministry, the key to starting to serve God, is humbling ourselves. And the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder. Having the key is a burden. It's a response. You see, he didn't say, I give it to your hand. He says, I'm going to put it where? On your shoulder. You have to carry this key. You have responsibility. If you're giving the key to the house of David, that's a big shot responsibility. You're given the key to ministry. Do you understand that that's a responsibility that you should take seriously? You can win someone to the Lord. You can open a door of salvation. That's a great and heavy responsibility. It should be a responsibility we should be glad to carry. Do you notice? He didn't say, I give you the key in your hand. I put it on your shoulder. It means it's something that we have to carry. We have to bear, because it's a heavy responsibility to be in ministry. What you say to someone, the way you say to someone through your actions, can speak louder than whatever you tell them through your words. That's why he said, I put it on your shoulder, so that he shall open and none shall shut, and he shall shut and none shall open. People watch us. Did you know that? The moment you say you go to church, people are watching you. They're wanting to see, okay, he says he's a Christian. You know, I noticed that with my boss. He came in and every 2 weeks, and again, I'm sorry to have to talk about myself, but I can't talk about you. So he came in and they were having a little fight. Him and another manager were having a little back and forth because both one of them wanted me, the salesman wanted me to travel to take this new thing and present it in person. And my manager didn't really want me to go yet because he wanted me to stay there and work. So they were having this back and forth. And so the salesman came in Friday morning to my, you know, the sales, regional salesman came to my desk and he said, so you got it all working? And he's surprised. I'm surprised. So I had to tell him yes. I couldn't tell him no. I know my manager didn't want him to know that because then he would say, well, there's no reason that he can't take it. But my manager knew that I wasn't going to lie. So when he came to me, he says, so you told him you were finished, didn't you? Yeah, you would tell him that, wouldn't you? I said, because he knows I'm a pastor. He's watching me. If I had tried to say anything less than that, there goes my witness. There goes my door. There goes my door. I would be the one shutting the door. Don't blame Satan when you mess up. I would be the one shutting the door. So when you get the key of the house of David, it's not in your hand. It's on your shoulder. You are bearing this on your shoulder. This is what we need to understand. Amen. That we have to carry this key responsibly. This is what God wants us to do. So he shall open and none shall shut, and he shall shut and none shall open. Now, I'm going to show you how God opens a door. Now, when we think of a door, we think of something like that with two sides to it. But God can open some doors that we don't think of as doors. I'm going to show you in the Old Testament how God opens a door. And this door is actually a womb. There was a lady and her husband who wanted to have a child. And this door was shut. She was barren. And in those days, it was looked down upon if you could not have children. That was the whole thing about marriage, was to be able to have children. But one day, God opened a door. In Judges 13:2, the angel of the Lord, and there was a certain man of Zorah of the family of Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren. The door to her womb was shut. She could not have children. And his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, behold now, thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and shalt bear a son. See, God can open doors that we don't think of as doors. See, these two people were faithful. They were servants. They were seeking God. And when you are a servant, God gives you the key because you are the doorkeeper. So her womb was open because God had a purpose in opening this door. This child that was going to be born was special. Wasn't going to be ordinary. See, when God has a door opening, that means something special is going to happen. In Jerusalem, there is a door, a gate really, in the city of Jerusalem called the Eastern Gate. And that gate has been shut for thousands of years. In fact, it's been walled up. And it's funny because there's a prophecy that says that door is going to be shut and stay shut until the King of Glory walks through that gate. Now, you would think that the devil, for 2,000 years, all he would have to do to prove the Bible false would be to have that gate opened up. Jerusalem has been occupied by the Romans. After that, the Arabs, Islam. After that, the Christians. After that, again, the Islam. For the hundreds of years, for 2,000 years, it has not been occupied or under control of Jews until 1967. And in all that time, because God said, that door shall be shut, that door is shut. The Eastern Gate is walled up. But one day, it's going to be opened up. You see, because when God shuts a door, no man can open it. And when God opens a door, no man can shut it. I'm telling you that in this story, this woman was barren. She had no children. And God said, I'm going to open a door. Now, the point why I told you about the Eastern Gate, when there is a door that has been shut by God, and it's been shut for a purpose. So therefore, when it opens up, something special is coming. That's what our point I told you about that story, because when that Eastern Gate is opened up, it's prophesied in the book of Ezekiel that Jesus is going to walk through it. In this case, this woman's womb was shut and barren, and because the angel came and said, now it's going to be open, someone special was on their way. And I don't know if you know who this was, but it was Samson. Samson. For doors to be open, we must be wholly dedicated. So this person that was born, the angel told him, I want to use him. But since I want to use him, the devil can't use him. He's got to be dedicated. He, under the Old Testament, he had to observe certain things. He must never cut his hair. See, there was a vow or a type of vow in the Old Testament called a Nazarite vow. And in this vow, people would pledge to not cut their hair. Men would pledge to not cut their hair for a certain time. And at the end of that time, they would cut their hair and bring it to the temple with an offering as a sign of dedication. And in that time, they would be separate from the world. They would be dedicated. So the angel told Manoah and his wife that the son that is going to be born, he's going to be a Nazarite from his birth. And he is never to cut his hair. He's never to have strong drink. He's never to drink fermented juice. He's never to take alcohol. And if he keeps those things, God is going to use him. You see, if we're wanting a door of ministry to be open, we got to be different. We can't be the same as the world. You've got to see a distinction between what we believe and what the world believes. Jesus said, you are in the world, but not of the world. Let's read this. Judges 13:7. But he said unto me, behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and now drink no wine nor strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. Dedicated to the Lord. That's what we should be. When were we born? As Christians, when were we born? When we went out in that tank and that's when we were born. Do you understand? Samson was dedicated from his birth. When we became born again, we needed to be dedicated to God's will and his way and his promises from that new birth. We shouldn't just be dedicated when we come on a Sunday and say, okay, I'm going to get dedicated today. From the time we went down in that water and said to walk in newness of life, we should have had a change. That's why God set this model of Samson up, that he was dedicated from the time he was born. We, as Christians, when we are born again, should be dedicated to God. It said, no unclean thing. Do you understand why we don't have strength sometimes? Because symbolically, we have cut our hair. We have let the devil know the secret of our strength. We have eaten spiritual unclean things. And when that happens, guess what happens? We can't get up like we did before and fight the devil, because that door is shut. It's too heavy for us. Samson was only able to have supernatural strength because he was separated. He was dedicated. Neither any unclean thing, for the child shall be a Nazarite. You know, there's some things, some places we shouldn't go. Some things we shouldn't listen to, because they will defile us. And then when Delilah says, the Philistines be upon us, we get up and we try and pray and it don't work. What a shock. What a shock. Why? Because spiritually, we've told the devil our strength. We've given in. Okay. So God used Samson's supernatural strength to open a door, because Israel was under bondage under the Philistines. And so God brought Samson into as a judge to avenge Israel, to destroy the oppressor. and to use him and his physical strength as long as he was separated, as long as he was a servant to God, Sister Janice. And that's one of the things we forget and do not understand about when we go to pray and ministry, Sister Janice.
I wanted to say sometimes when we're in certain places, certain things will vex our spirit. What do you recommend to do besides pray or just leave the premises?
Well, sometimes we have no choice. Maybe we're in a situation where we didn't plan to, but there's just people there cussing and carrying on.
Yeah.
You know, and it will vex your spirit because if you have something in you that is the Holy Spirit, you don't want to be a part of that.
That's true. Okay.
And if you can extricate yourself out of that situation, do. But that's why we come to church, because what is the word doing? Washing. Amen. That's what the word is doing. If you want to ask a question or... Okay.
Sometimes when you read the Bible before you pray, you have to watch the type of spirits that they have, because God will show you signs, but it's up to us to seek the signs, to pay attention to the signs.
Okay, yes. If you are listening to the Spirit, God will lead you in paths of righteousness. Now, sometimes that path is a valley of the shadow of death, but he's not leaving us alone. He says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort. So in this story, God had brought Samson, and as long as he was separated, he was going to be used as a door of ministry for the Jews. And verse 6, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid. That means a lion attacked him, and with his bare hands, he was able to kill the lion. He had nothing to his hand, but he told not his father or his mother what he had done. This was just a normal thing for Samson. He didn't have to boast about it. See, a lot of the things that happen to us, when we have the Spirit of God, we don't have to boast about it, because God will give us what we need in that instant. Amen. The Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. Samson's name means like the sun. But of course, that was not the key. That was not the key. It was his separation and his dedication to being a Nazarite. It was his vow from the time he was born that enabled him to have the relationship with God. Now, sometimes the devil locks us up, and you know this story. Judges 16 and verse 1. See, sometimes the devil will try and hide the key. Then went Samson to Gaza and saw there an harlot and went in unto her. Now, I'm not saying what he did was right. See, what the devil will do is make you fall, defile yourself, and think he's got you locked up. This is what happened to Samson. He went outside of what the teachings of the law were and hooked up with a Philistine lady. He shouldn't have done that. And the devil locked him in there thinking, okay, we got him now. Satan will make you, tempt you, and sometimes we may fall into sin or we fall into error. But don't give up. That's the time to repent. That is the time to call upon God. So they took him into the city, or he was in the city, and they said, well, we got him now. This is our chance to kill him. We're going to bar the gates of Gaza, the city of Gath. And those gates weighed thousands of pounds. They were wood with metal bandings on them. And it was told the Gazites, saying, Samson has come hither. And they come past him and laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city. You see, what a lot of us forget is that Satan wants to kill us. He's not happy that you're trying to serve God or that you're trying to do the right thing. He's not happy that you're here today. He's not happy that your intent is to make it. And so he will try to trap you in the city of Gaza. He will try and lock the door and throw away the key. Okay, they messed up now. I got them. I put out a honeypot there, and they fell into the trap. I'm going to lock the door and throw away the key. But you see, Samson still had not broken the Nazarite vow. Even though what he did was not a good thing, God had mercy. God was using him to destroy the Philistines. And Samson lay till midnight and arose at midnight and took the doors of the gate of the city. And he didn't just take the doors. He took the post. He took the hinges. He took the whole structure. And he didn't just throw it down at the door. You know what he did? To show them how puny their God was, he marched it up a hill about a half mile from Gaza and plunked it down there. So in the morning, their city had no gates. He tore the gates off the prison. You see, figuratively, that's what Jesus did. He tore the gates off the prison that Satan would like to have you bound. But many of us sometimes don't realize that we think we're still locked up. But God, the Bible says that the truth will what? Makes you free. Once you understand the truth of how much God loves you, how much he wants you to be saved, there is no gate that Satan can lock you up in permanently unless you just choose to not believe God. He said, I've set you free. I came to free the prisoners. In Isaiah 61, he said, to let the prisoners free. He has taken the gates off of hell so that you don't have to go there. We do not have to live in sin. We do not have to stay with the Philistines. And Samson lay till midnight and arose at midnight and took the doors of the gate of the city and the posts and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulder. Sometimes you don't have the key, but God, in those cases, if you seek him, can open the door. And put them upon his shoulder and carried them up to the top of an hill. Can you imagine that? The Philistine says, well, we can see this is hopeless because he didn't just break down the gate. Just to show how the power of God was, he took these couple ton or 3 or 4 ton gates all the way uphill, half a mile, and left them on top of the hill. You see, the Bible says that the gates of hell shall not prevail. Matthew 16 and 16. See, devil wants to know who you are. Did you know that? My question is, do you know who you are? Jesus said, who do men say that I am? Who do men say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Satan will want to come to you and say, if thou be a son of God, he'll tempt you. If you're a son of God, Jesus knew who he was. Verse 17, and Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, which means a small stone, and he was meaning himself, but upon this rock, meaning himself, I will build my church. And guess what? The gates of hell shall not prevail. See, when God opens a door, no man can shut it. When God closes a door, no man can. Whatever you're going through right now, do you know, it didn't say the gates of Jerusalem. It said the gates of where? Now, a lot of times we look at that in the wrong way, and I think I've taught this before. When it says the gates of hell, it means hell is not going to prevail. Hell is not going to prevail against the power of God. That means there's nothing that Satan has locked up that Jesus cannot release. Whether it's sickness, whether it's finances, whether it's depression you're going through right now, the gates of hell cannot survive God's power. When you put faith in God's word, when you trust God's word, when you're walking separated from the world, when you haven't given up your secret, the devil says, what is the secret of this? I kicked them, I made them lose their job, and they still come to church worshiping. They're still there giving God the praise. I made him have an accident this morning. I thought he would be down and depressed. Now I know the secret, and I'm not telling you, Satan. My secret is praise. I thank you, Lord, for all your blessings. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Naked I was born, and naked I shall go, but blessed be the name of the Lord. My blessing does not come from my job. My blessing does not come from government. My blessing comes because God has said, behold, I place before you an open door. And when I open it, no man can shut it. Sometimes I feel so guilty because I say, Lord, why me? Why do you keep blessing me when I do not deserve it? I just had to smile at the end of Friday when I was able to do this thing which was they thought was impossible, and it is impossible, and I didn't do it in myself. I just had to thank you, God. Next time they ask me, it says, well, how did you do it? I'm going to say, but God, who is rich in mercy, he's placed before me an open door. Well, you know, when you think about it, if God says come, that means he must have opened the door. He couldn't tell you to come through a closed door. If God tells you come, it means he's placed before you an open door. And I say unto thee, Peter, that thou art Peter, Cephas, a stone. But upon this rock, meaning himself, I will build my church. And no matter what Satan wants to do, if you are in the church, you're going to be safe, because it says the gates of hell shall not prevail. And who is saying that? Jesus. He said, my Father is stronger than anybody, and nobody can pluck anything out of his hand. Nobody. All you have to do is stay within the church. You will be safe, because the gates of hell cannot prevail. In fact, the church is going to be used to destroy the gates of hell. That's what really this is saying. It goes on to say, I will give unto thee, the next verse, because anytime there's gates or doors, there's always a key, right? So if the gates of hell is not going to prevail, look what he says next. And I will give unto thee the keys. Now these are to some really good doors. I will give unto thee the keys of where? The kingdom of heaven. You know, my father and mother had this habit of doing that. They would point at stuff and they say, I will bind you or I will release you. Did you know that? We have authority to do that. He said, I've given you the keys, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. We just don't do enough of it. Instead of asking God for stuff, we just need to declare stuff. He's already given us the keys. Now, if you're like me, sometimes you can mislay your keys. Sometimes you don't know where you put it, but it's for us to find the keys. He's given them to us. Unto thee I give the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed. Is there some things you want God to lock up? Is there some things that are coming against you that you want to be bound so that they don't harm you? Is there some things that you want God to loose into your life, some blessings, some finances, some family situations? He has said that I have given unto thee the keys. He's given us more than one. There's more than one key into this kingdom. We named some right at the beginning. What was David's key? That's what he did all the time. You know why? Because he was a musician. I can relate to that. Many years ago when I was a teenager and I was depressed, I would come home from school and I would sit in front of the piano and I would start to play. And the first things I would play would all be slow and sad, and I'd just be playing slow. But after a while, I'd start to think about the good songs. There shall be showers of blessing. I'd start to play some songs about goodness of God. At the cross where I first saw the light. Okay. And I'd start to play about he is worthy. And after about an hour when I left that piano, I felt so good. Because praise is a key in your life. Praise is a key. There is a power in just thanking God. God, this situation is negative, but nevertheless, God, I thank you because you're going to bring me through this. You're going to take me to another level. Because the Bible says that tribulation worketh patience. And patience. All right, go look that one up. That's right. And hope that maketh not ashamed. You see, we have been called to open some doors. We haven't been called to just stay in our church. But if we want a door of ministry, it starts with servanthood and being humble. It then starts with being separated to God so that he can use us. The Bible says, as I said, that Samson was separated. He was a Nazarite from the day of his birth to his death. He was a Nazarite. But the great thing about Samson, even though when he had fallen and given up his secret, and the devil had captured him and blinded him and taken out his eyes, he never gave up hope. He was in the prison grinding. And you know what started to happen to his hair? Started to grow. That gives me hope that even if the devil has blinded you or destroyed or taken away something, God can replace it. His hair started to grow. God started to give him back his strength. And you know the story well, how when they took him out and they put him between the two posts, the Bible said he said, "One more time, Lord, one more time. Just one more time. Let that strength come back into me. One more time, God." See, God has some keys. God has some keys for you. You can say, "One more time. I might be in the prison, but God can release you. He can make that spiritual hair grow again." Because he said, "Whatsoever things thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever things thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Now, I'll tell you a secret here. I usually don't really ask God for too much. And the reason is because I don't have to. He provides for me in advance. That's just been my life. I very rarely have to ask God for anything, and I'm not boasting in myself. I'm boasting in Him. I really am not. I really, when I pray, I really don't ask God for things, because He has provided every. I am not hungry. I am not starving. I am not sick. I have a little cold, but I refuse to let it bother me. I don't call that sickness. I'm here today. I'm able to walk. I'm able to jump if I want to. Amen. In my outer man may be perishing, but my inner man is renewed. Amen. When I got up this morning, because I'm not used to some of the muscles that we used yesterday, you had a few aches. Yeah, we were lifting some stuff. These things are extremely heavy, and we moved some benches, and I wasn't used to using those muscles, so when I got up, I was a little bit sore. I was surprised I was sore, but you know what? I'm here. I'm not going to let that prison hold me back, because I have a key, and my key is praise. You need to find your key. You can't start your car unless you got your key. I'm going to give you some keys. Prayer, fasting, meditating on the word. Witnessing is a key. Witnessing is a key. Because when you are blessing, you being used of God, He's going to bless you when you're carrying out His commandment. Prayer is a key. Prayer is a key to ministry. Fasting, staying away from some negative things. You know, I've seen some people have been fasting from Facebook. That's good, because a lot of stuff on there is just nonsense. Some people just believe they got to get on there and live their life on Facebook. That someone needs to hear their daily wisdom. I usually only say stuff if I'm promoting the church or trying to give a warning. But we need to fast from some things. We need to be separated so that God can use us just like Samson, so that He will be able to open those prison doors, no matter what Satan has us bound in. And then meditating on the word. We've said that so many times, and we've been pushing that you find a scripture, a promise from the Bible, and you start to meditate upon it. Whatever it is, that is your weapon. That is your little dagger that when Satan comes, you can stick him in the eye with that weapon. You just say, "It is written. It is written that nothing shall separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus." Satan, you're a liar. God still loves me because I'm His child. I may not be the perfect child, but He still loves me. Jesus said, "Which of you, having a child that's asking for bread, will give him a stone?" No, your heavenly Father loves you more than that. It's because the Bible says our sins have separated ourselves. We have left Father's house. We have given into the devil and given him our secrets, and he's cut off some of our hair. But guess what? If you will just pray, God will start to renew your spiritual strength. That hair will start to grow. So fasting and then meditating upon his word and witnessing. There are more than 7 keys. I'm just giving you a few today. Because this is how we get that door that God wants us to walk through. This is the way, the Bible says in the Old Testament, walk through it. This is the way, walk in it. God has placed before us an open door. If we will do these things, if we will start to be like Samson, separated from these things, we will have spiritual power. We'll be able to bust down the gates of whatever God has got you locked up and take it up the hill. Because that's what God has called us, to have dominion. He said, "Subdue, replenish, and have dominion." God has called us to sonship, and He has given us the keys whereby we can open up some doors. Amen. You may stand with me this morning. "And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. I want to learn to continue to walk in God's blessing. You know, a good parent, for the most part, their child won't even have to ask them what they need. The parent already knows. And for the most part in my life, that's how it's been. God already knows what I need, and He provides it. He provides it. I am so spoiled. I am God's spoiled child. I really am. I am God's favorite. I'm just like John the Baptist. In John the Baptist, in the book of John, it always speaks about the disciple whom Jesus loved. And I heard someone say they never understood that. They never understood how come Jesus had someone that He loved more than others. Until, of course, they realize that that phrase is in no other gospel but John's. It's in no other gospel but John. In other words, he was writing about himself. He believed he was God's favorite. See, Peter didn't write about it, but if he knew it, he was also God's favorite. God loves all of us. But the difference between Peter and John was that John knew it. The disciple whom Jesus loved. That's a message right there. That's a message right there. God has given us exceeding great and precious promises. In other words, keys. Keys that we can open whatever prison door Satan has put us in. Hallelujah. Behold, I've set before you an open door. And when I open it, no man can shut it. See, I'm sure that they thought they were putting me in a dead-end job. And it turned out now to be, at least for this next month, the center of the universe. All the way up to the president now is focused upon little old me. See, they moved me out of a team. If it had been a team, then the glory would be shared. But it's just me. And I can see how the devil was working. As soon as he saw what was going to happen, he says, well, we need more resources, meaning we need to add more people to the team. So, in other words, Mike doesn't get the glory. But God blocked it. So it's still just me. I'm a one-man team. And this whole big contract for millions of dollars is all focused through me. And I'm not boasting. I'm just telling you how God can give you favor and blessing regardless of what the devil. He put Joseph in a prison. And within 3 years, Joseph was the prime minister. Those prison doors could not hold Joseph in that situation. Because when you are called, when you are the called, and you love God, all things, let's say it, all things work together for the good. All things. And then we got to say the first three words. And we know. Let's say it together. And we know that all things work together for the good. To them that love God and are the called. You see, when your birth is announced by an angel, you know your birth was announced by an angel? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, and you shall receive. So just like the birth of Samson was announced, God announced, the Bible says that the angels call your name. I will confess your name before my Father. We have been given some keys, saints. We don't need to be depressed. We need to tell the devil, listen, you can't lock me up in depression. You can't lock me up in sin. You can't lock me up in sickness because I belong to the King. I'm a child of the King. I'm His servant. And so you know what? He's going to give me the keys to the house of David. And He's going to put it right on my shoulder. I can bear that responsibility because like David said, I would rather be a doorman. David was smart. The doorman is the one who has the keys. Hallelujah. We're going to close this Bible study, but I want you to know that God has called us and set before us an open door of ministry. All we have to do is to start to walk. He has said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Now, He's not going to shut a door and tell us to come, is He? No, He's going to open the door. Hallelujah. Prayer, fasting, meditating on God's word, witnessing. These are some of the things that will open the doors that Satan has you bound. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads at this time. Father, we just thank you for your presence today, for your anointing, hallelujah, that is the key to opening every door. Father, we just thank you for speaking to us today, for giving us a joy. Lord, we ask you to let this...